A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now, on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome to the show today, Wayne Winston. Welcome to the show. We're talking about race. I want to lead with a story that was profiled in Yahoo News just on Monday about a gentleman named Rydell Harrison, who started a new job as a school superintendent for the Eastern Reading and Region 9 District, covering Eastern Reading, which are two small, mostly white towns. Mr. Harrison is black. And he had recently established a task force and allocated money to address racial climate in schools as a response to hundreds of students and recent alum who wrote to school board members following George Floyd's murder to describe racist incidents that they'd experienced in these school districts. But after January 6th, according to Mr. Harrison, some local residents started to complain that the diversity efforts were Mr. Harrison's agenda. And they labeled him, he was the district's first black superintendent, as a, quote, activist pushing to indoctrinate students with critical race theory. Apparently, school board meetings that were filled with opponents lasted late into the night. A conservative not-for-profit group, which called itself Nonpartisan Action for a Better Reading, had featured a Facebook post Harrison had written condemning conspiracy theories that fueled the January 6th riot. And the same Facebook group urged people to complain to school board members about him. There's another group called the Save Our Schools, which was run by two Easton residents who no longer have children in the district. And they questioned whether the district had a problem with bias and discrimination at all. At the end of June of this year, Mr. Harrison announced that he would resign. He said he doubted he could lead the community on its diversity efforts in the face of so much opposition. And according to Yahoo News, Mr. Harrison is one of a small but growing number of educators who have left their jobs. They've resigned after school districts have become inundated in recent months by furious parents who accuse them of teaching critical race theory. Wayne Winston, do you know Mr. Harrison directly? Do you have any specific insight? I do not know Mr. Harrison. Do you know him?
I only met him briefly, and so I can't say that I know him. The problem that he faced, which was enough for him to give up a position where he is trying to make this world a better place, to do what he's supposed to do as an educator, it was enough for him to resign a job in these communities that obviously saw he was qualified to hire to begin with. And if you pick someone to oversee that kind of school system, and you're trying to move forward to be able to say, we're going to deal with these racial inequities, and then you get such blowback from the community or from teachers, then it becomes a big problem. And it's unfortunate because when you label something CRT, which is turned into a strategy, not just here in Connecticut, but across the country, CRT is a college-level curriculum that anybody can take. You know, it discusses white fragility, all those things that certain people don't want to hear about. What we're talking about, what he was talking about, and what these diversity committees are talking about across the state and this country are to have an inclusive history. Let's find out where these things are problems for our kids, for our families, so that we can have that place that we love to say, like Dr. King says, you know, judge by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. That requires participation from the greater white community, who has to be able to say, we're willing to look at what this dynamic is of racial inequality and where it starts. So it's about inclusion.
We're chatting with Wayne Winston, 203-333-9422. The subject is critical race theory. I just want to continue a little bit because this is so relevant to our Fairfield County community. After Mr. Harrison resigned, there was further discussion, and one of the school board members came up with this idea to do a survey of kids themselves, an anonymous survey. That was briefly tabled, but a week later, board members of the Reading East and Region 9 School District agreed to send out a survey, and the survey is going to be asking school students and parents to talk about their experiences with discrimination. There was a fight about it, and the compromise was that students could only take it if their parents gave permission. So, but that is moving the needle forward, Wayne. That really is. The fact that this school district, I think, was probably very shocked and some members dismayed by Mr. Harrison's resignation. Now they got to look for a school superintendent. It's not so easy to find. Maybe they liked in general the job he was doing. Maybe they're embarrassed about the reasons for his resignation. But the fact is that by having this survey, you are moving the needle forward in terms of forcing conversations around dinner tables, if not in the school district itself.
Agreed. But the problem is, if you're not able to implement the tool, these diversity committees, and we've many times noted them here, whether they were online, whether they were in Trumbull, whether in Fairfield, Westport, that there are people who are actively working to circumvent this very thing that is the solution. No one wants to see another George Floyd, which triggered all of these diversity committees, and admittedly so, most of the towns and cities and people admit this. They want to have a better world, but that requires cooperation, and where it's having its struggle is with teachers trying to even implicate it, or excuse me, implement it. Even in Trumbull here in the Board of Ed meeting they had last night, a similar situation came up where there was a well-qualified group of educators with the support of the state and a couple of organizations, courageous conversations about race. They just presented an outline of how they would get teachers to understand what that is, to really talk openly and bridge that gap, have that uncomfortable conversation. And that ran into a brick wall. So to the Board of Education's credit, they were saying, listen, we have to listen. We have to talk about this because this is where we need to go. They even had input from students that was used as part of this thing. And this was just for the adults. This was not for children. And they started, someone from the audience started saying, oh, we don't want to do CRT, CRT. It's not CRT. The state of Connecticut has an inclusive history. They voted upon. This is going to happen in Connecticut. If you're a teacher, you'll have to use inclusive history, inclusive racial history. So, again, this was about making sure that the teachers understand it. If we can't sort it out with the teachers, then you have problems with the students. So a lot of people do not understand that the CRT is like the red herring. It's the diversionary thing to get you to talk about something that's not even happening. If imagine that our kids are sitting there learning about each other at an early age, and they ask questions of how did Tulsa happen? How did what happened with Native Americans? Some people don't want that conversation. They just don't. And they're hell-bent on stopping it. And that's how we'll keep things the same. And we can't afford that. We know we're so much better together. And America showed, vast majority was out there marching, saying, we need this. But there's those people on the side, man, using whatever they can to divert away from that. I want my grandchildren and your children and everybody's children in this country just to see each other as people. Racism's taught.
Well, you know what it is, Wayne? You know what it is? We're chatting with Wayne Winston. You know what it is partially, I think? Partially it is that Americans want to that I think Americans of goodwill are willing to look at their history as long as it is placed in a historical context and does not come down to the present day of using the history as a way to continue to see yourself perpetually as a victim. Because there is, and I think that this is part of the underlying backlash. I don't think it's just racism. There's always going to be some racism. Racism is its own ugly, horrible thing. And it exists. And it comes out from under a rock now and then. It needs to go back under a rock. It's an ugly, disgusting thing. But outside of the obvious ugly racists, there's also in America, this idea that every human being can be an outlier, that individuals should be able to, on a meritocracy basis alone, move out from their circumstances, as lousy as they've been, as victimized as they may have started out, and reach out for that American dream and go for it. And so part of the backlash, I think, Wayne, in an honest conversation, mm-hmm. is that some of it is mixed up with some white people or people of various immigrant things who may be non-white, but whatever, some people not of color, are afraid that this education will lead to a self-look of perpetual victimized and victimization, as opposed to let's put the history where it is so we can move beyond feeling as victims, so we can truly take our place as complete citizens in America. But there are people that are afraid that if you teach this, that you're sending a message that people should stay in a place of victimization. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Maybe I'm not saying it right, but that's, I think that's part of it too.
I definitely understand what you're saying. And here's the ironic part. The very history that's taught about Native Americans, about black people in particular, and why it becomes black people, because for centuries we were here the longest dealing with this, it said we were inferior. So we're not talking about saying black people are superior. We're not saying that we want anything different than anyone else. We want the truth taught. I mean, we could take it a step further, like Paul Revere. When you look at history now, you know, Paul Revere wasn't the one who said the British are coming. You know, there wasn't just one writer. There was 20. Now, this isn't me saying that. This is the History Channel telling you this in black and white. There's a lot of things we shared in our histories that weren't accurate. And history should be accurate like it should be science. It may not fit into that thing we're talking about, but that's what the inclusive history is. We had a whole drama about Columbus when, you know, he never set foot here. Now, you love it or hate it, that's just a fact. So the inclusive history that says black people were responsible for all of these positive things and contributions in this country is not reflected upon them. And then the mistakes that America made, because no country is perfect, let's not look at those things. Let's continue to keep them under, because then if we have to look at them, then we have to look at why we have to correct them. And then there's compassion, and that might be a problem. But that's what makes us a better place. Everyone knows if you face the issues that you have, or the mistakes that you made, that's how it gets better. And that's where we are in this country right now, and people are just fighting it tooth and nail.
They are. Wayne, let's do this. We have some wonderful sponsors without which we would not be on the air. We have some callers who want to talk about this. If you're calling and you're on hold, please stay on hold. We'll come to you right in just a moment. We're chatting with Wayne Winston about race and critical race theory. Stick around. The Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.
A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Welcome back to the show. On Wednesdays, we discuss race, and we're talking about critical race theory and essentially a movement within the Reading Easton School District that directly led to the resignation of Rydell Harrison, the first black superintendent of that district, with recriminations afterwards. And Heather Whaley, a school board member and chair of the Diversity and Equity Task Force, reminding her colleagues that the efforts to combat discrimination predated the hiring of Harrison. And she's quoted as saying, Dr. Harrison came to a district that was looking to do that work, and look at how he was treated. She apologized to him for the attacks he'd weathered. He's gone. He's on to a nonprofit. He'll still be working in diversity and inclusion. And we're having a conversation about all of this. We're going to your calls. First, Kelly from Stamford. Hey, Kelly, welcome to the show today. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Lisa. Yes, my thoughts are that the kids don't even have the basics. We have high school kids come into work in the summer, you know, kind of as an internship, part-time work. And we do a question of the day, and I ask these kids that are from Fairfield County, from good schools, name the first three presidents. They know George Washington. They can't name the next two, Adams and Jefferson. They
Oh my
do
God.
Not have basic knowledge. I want you to do this. I want Wayne to do this. Ask the kids. Ask the college kids. Who are our first three presidents? And George Washington, they don't know. So I understand with the critical race, but you can't teach. You need to teach these kids the basics. They do not have the basic information. We had to learn the memorize the presidents up to Lincoln in seventh grade. Start there. Start with basic factual history. Then you can layer on additional information. But you can't replace. I mean, they really need to revamp it. And this is really disturbing to me that college kids couldn't even name the first three presidents coming out of Fairfield County schools. Horrible.
Kelly, we could talk from today till tomorrow about the levels of ignorance. We're talking about adding to a curriculum, not taking away from it. But yeah, I see your point.
It's basic, like almost like illiterate. I mean, I want Wayne to ask the kids in his community, name the first three presidents and see what happens.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic.
Well, let me answer that quickly for you. That is a problem across all races.
Totally.
I agree. Yeah. And so that's got to be an inclusionary process as well. Just as I spoke of, like, the real history that incorporates that, makes kids ask questions about even, hey, how come we weren't taught that before? Because that's still in the books. There are a lot of inaccuracies. But, yes, that across the board, America has to do better. You know, we're sliding down the scale.
Totally.
We've got a couple of great schools, school systems in the state. But Americans, period, are in bad shape. So the inclusionary thing, and I don't, and I want to be clear again, none of this is critical race theory. So I'm thinking, none of this. I don't know any place anywhere, and I'm on a few states, they're not doing critical race theory. What they're trying to implement are the diversity aspects that we worked for to create this with community involvement and student involvement. And it's just turning into this whole big ugly lie that it's CRT. That's a college level course.
Well, I do want to say this, and we got to move on to other calls, but I do want to say this. They might remember that the third president was Thomas Jefferson if, as part of memorizing it, they were told about the sub-story of Sally Hemings, the black slave with whom he fathered an entire family and denied for all those years. Maybe then they would remember Thomas Jefferson. All right, let's move on. We got a bunch of other calls. Let's go to Barbara from Shelton. Barbara, go ahead quickly, please. Go ahead.
Hi, quickly. I just want to make a comment with the woman who talked about the president. When these second, third, and fourth grade kids are going to be 21 and 20 and whatever age, you're going to ask them what one and one is. They're going to say 11. You're going to ask them what two and two is. They're going to say 22.
I know. You know what they're really going to say, Barbara? They're going to say, "Where's my iPhone?" That's really what they're going to say.
The whole thing. They won't need that. They'll have to use their fingers for everything. It's not going to be
so
able to.
True. God. Oh, my
Where's
God.
My iPhone? What? Where's my iPhone? Mommy, what's a book?
It's really true. Believe me. I know. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. Thank you. All right, one more call. Cecil, you got to make it quick. Cecil from Bridgeport, you're on the air with Wayne Winston. Quick. Yeah. We're coming up against the hour.
Yes, Lisa, I just wanted to say to you and Winston, keep on doing the good work. God is going to continue to bless you as well as Winston. And you have a very good day.
You're kind,
Thank
brother.
You. Thank you, sister.
You're very kind. Thank you, brother.
Thank you very much for the call. Thank you. Yeah, so we've had a lot of public participation here. We're going to come up against the hour. So, and listen, I know, Wayne, that you've been saying that critical race theory is not inclusion. So from what I have learned from Fran, who is the head of this executive she's a former superintendent in Bridgeport and the head of all of the superintendent association. Critical race theory is this theory. It is an academic post-high school theory that talks about things like white privilege, which is an incendiary term still. It's a very provocative term. And it attributes a lot of American history to a theory of white privilege having done certain things that resulted in other things. It's a theory of causation as a way of looking at history. And it's not in our K through 12 curriculum, period, end, done. It's not there. It's not there.
That's cool. You know, I'm sorry, finish. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, and what is there, what is there now is an attempt to include aspects of Black history, including some ugly episodes, but also including the accolades and praise given to a number of wonderful contributors to American society who happen to be Black, as part of a more enriched curriculum in America. That's it. So we can learn about Tulsa, so we can learn about Juneteenth, so we can also learn about the myriad of scientists and scholars who contributed to our learning altogether that happened to be a Black color that might have been ignored in prior curriculums. That's it. That's what we're trying to do in Connecticut. We're not trying to attribute a cause and effect to white privilege, at least not yet. It's not in our curriculum right now. That's it. Am I right, Wayne? Am I wrong?
You're absolutely right. And I have actually talked to Fran myself. She used to be the superintendent in Bridgeport Schools. And we had this discussion, and she's very concerned about it getting turned into something. Because, again, it's not just happening here. You've got places like Florida who are banning anything having to do with talking about racism and diversity. How crazy is that? You got Miami, one of the most diverse places on the planet. And they're saying you can't talk about, you know, Cubans and Blacks and Black Cubans. Just have the inclusive history. There's still an undercurrent that we're fighting of racism in this country. It's not dead. And we have to be careful because that's how it affects our politics and the things that we do. I know the majority of people that I talk to, they want a better America just as much as I want to. They don't want another George Floyd. They don't want anything like that. And their children certainly don't want that. And you saw them voice that all across this planet, all across this country. So we know that's not what they want. But when you try to implicate it, excuse me, I keep saying implicate, when you try to apply it and put those tools in to fix it, those same forces that created it still exist. You know, the Unite the Right in 2017, you know, we just had someone, they just tried to take over the Capitol. That's this year. This year, we're going to take the country back because we don't like where you're going with this gay pride and everybody standing together and all. We don't want that. White superiority is what we believe in, and we'll use whatever we need to. And it looks like they're going to use that term, CRT, to get it done and even get some of those people back in office who shouldn't be
there
that support that thing.
Thank you, Wayne. We'll have this podcast up on WICC600.com and SoundCloud. Please follow Lisa Wexler Radio on Instagram and join me on my Facebook page, Paul Pacelli, up from 2 to 6 with Connecticut Today. Thanks for joining us.